family and friends of Leota, Greece. This text and this scripture reference, actually, right here in front of us this morning, what I just read, is something that is very telling to man as he comes into this world. It's a conviction to man. Man comes as a totally depraved rebel against God. He hates God. Every one of us came into the world that way, seeking our own desires, our own will, the things that we wanted to please ourselves. And even as Jesus is dealing with the religious ruler, Nicodemus, one who was the teacher in Israel, he doesn't understand this basic fact as Jesus lays it out here. As you saw this, you must be born again. Do you know what it means to be born again? You saw it plainly in our text. Do you know what it means to be raised up spiritually and given new life? I tell you, the effects, as Jesus said, of the wind. You can't see the wind blowing, but you do see the effects of the wind. You can see the direction in which the wind is blowing by the effect of what it produces. The leaves blowing, the trees bending. So it is with those who are born of the Spirit of God. You see the effect. You see their life. So the question is, are you born again? And the effect is, you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your hope is in Him. Your confidence is not in your works, not in who you are, not in what you have done, not in what you can do. Your confidence is in what Jesus Christ alone has done, for He is the only Savior given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. There's only one, and His name is Jesus. And if you're born of the Spirit of God, your confidence is in Him. It's not in your church attendance. It's not in your church membership. It's not in how many times you have taken the Lord's Supper. It's not in your baptism. It's not that you were catechized. It's not that you went through the rite of confirmation. Your confidence is Jesus. And you're looking unto Him. He is the author and the perfecter of the faith of the believer. There is no one else given to atone for sins. And make no mistake, if you're not trusting in Christ, you're under the condemnation of God. You must give an account. You will give an account to the Lord. And so this is a comfort to the believer. This ought to be an eye-opener for you who are here this morning, who are not trusting in Jesus Christ as your Redeemer. Jesus says in our text, notice in verse 14, He refers to Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. Now, that reference is to Numbers chapter 21. And in Numbers chapter 21, it was the children of Israel being delivered from the land of Egypt, being brought out and heading towards the promised land and wandering 40 years in the wilderness. And yes, just like us, they grumbled and they complained. And the Lord was not pleased with the Israelites in the wilderness. And so He sent poisonous snakes into the camp to bite the people. And the people that were bitten died. And Moses then cried out to the Lord. And the Lord told Moses to take a bronze serpent and erect it upon a pole and stick it up in the center of the camp and declare to all the people to look to that bronze serpent for that temporal healing. Now, it's not the bronze serpent that could bring healing. It's only the Lord and the Lord alone that could bring healing. But that's the instrument that He told them to look to. And by faith, you would do what God called you to do. If you had faith, you would look. Because you know that we are to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So those who looked were saved temporally from that snake bite. They were healed. And they lived temporally. Paul makes mention, 1 Corinthians 10, that 23,000 of them fell in the wilderness. Why? Because they would not look to the instrument that God gave. Now notice the comparison here. Jesus says in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus must be lifted up. He said in John 10, "And when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." And what he refers to there is all types of men. Not every single man, but all types of men from every tribe, tongue, and nation of the world. So when Jesus brings this comparison, he says, "Even so, as Moses lifted up this serpent in the wilderness, so I must be lifted up." Now think about this. It's very simple to understand the correlation. If you don't look to Jesus, you will perish in your sins. In the wilderness, there was only one way to be healed physically from the snake bite, and that was to look to the instrument that God alone gave. Spiritually, for every one of us, there is only one name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved, and his name is Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Paul said in 1 Timothy 1, "There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Jesus is the good shepherd, John 10, who lays down his life for his sheep. None other. There is no one else who is fully God, fully man, able to redeem mankind. So my question is this. Are you looking to the only instrument, the only means, the only ground of salvation, of redemption, of forgiveness, the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're not looking to him this morning, you are under the condemnation of God. We don't live in a day where we like strong words. I'm going to tell you, this is what the text says. You are under God's condemnation if you are not trusting in Christ. There is only two places that you can be spiritually in this world. You are either spiritually in Adam, and therefore you are dead in your trespasses and sins, and you are under the wrath and curse of God. Or you are under the rock and the refuge, Jesus Christ, and you have found hope and forgiveness and cleansing in him. That's where the favor of God is. Where are you spiritually? Jesus makes it clear there's only one instrument. And he goes on and he says that the Father sent the Son into the world because he loved the world. Now, this is the one you hear in football games, baseball games. It's probably the most quoted text in America. And probably the most least understood. This is not a blank check here, given that God loves all of you. Because he already teaches us that if you're not trusting Christ, you're under God's condemnation. Not his love, but his anger, his wrath, his hatred. And there is only one way to escape that, and that's by looking to Christ by faith. That's the hope of the believer. So, Jesus said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The syllogism, it's very clear, it's very simple. He who does A receives B. He who looks to Jesus, believes on him, has faith in him, receives everlasting life. It's not knowing about Jesus, it's knowing him. It's being in union with him. It's receiving all of his benefits. And that comes by way of faith. That's the instrumental means by which one is redeemed, faith. And faith is a gift of God. Faith is that which is worked in by the Holy Spirit, that we might look to the object of faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, when God so loved the world, it doesn't mean that God loves the world this much. It's this way. This is the way in which God demonstrated his love for the world. He gave him a Savior. Can you imagine this? No Savior. Imagine coming into this world, living a rebellious life, fulfilling all of our pleasures, running after everything that pleases us, and then dying and going to hell. You know everybody's going to live forever. God has created our souls immortal. They're not inherently immortal. They're created immortal by God. So every man lives forever. The question is, where are you going to live? What's your address? And there are only two given in Scripture, heaven or hell. God gave a means to not go to hell. And his name is Jesus. God's love was demonstrated to mankind. The word cosmos can refer to three different things. It can refer to mankind, the earth that we live on, or an influence of wickedness in this world. Here he's referring to mankind. God loved mankind. It's image bearers. He loved them enough, mankind, to send his son to redeem them, to have forgiveness. You know what it's like to hold in a grudge and to have bitterness and not to be forgiven? I was watching a program the other day. I saw a police detective shot a young kid who was trying to attack him with a screwdriver. And the kid died. And the mother came to the police department and met with a detective in a private room and looked him right in the face and says, "I will never forgive you." What do you think that unforgiveness did to her soul? You could see the contortion already on her face because of the bitterness in her soul. What if there was no forgiveness from God? What do you do with your sin? What do you do with your guilt? For the believer, the mercy of God deals with our guilt. That we can look unto Jesus and find forgiveness. That when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessing. What a joy. That's why Jesus says, "Come to me. Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Come to me. I'll give you spiritual rest. It's in me that you find rest for your soul. And my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So he says, "Come to me." The writer of the Hebrews says, "Keep on looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him despised the shame. He bore the cross, and he did so to the bitter end." Think about that one and only Savior. Isaiah gives reference to him in Isaiah 53. "He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. All we like sheep have gone astray, and he is the one who bore the burden of our going astray." You trusting him? You looking to him? This casket up here ought to teach you something this morning. It ought to teach you that the living do die, and every one of us knows this. It ought to teach us that we are mortal. Our mortality, our life is coming to an end. You know those egg timers that have the hourglass shape and the sand in it? Well, the moment that you were conceived, that hourglass was turned right side up and the sand began to drip through the hourglass. How much sand do you have on the top of your hourglass where you stand and give an account to the eyes of him with whom we must have to do? To give an account to the Lord. There is escape. And that's the comfort of the believer. Jesus said, "He who believes in him, in Christ, will not perish." To perish or to be condemned is to be under the condemnation of God. And if you believe in him, believing in him, as I said, is not believing about him, it's believing him. There are many people today that call themselves church members who don't believe the word of God. They're members of a church, but they're not believers. They have not been born again. They do not hear the word of God. As Jesus said, those who are of God hear God's word. If you don't hear God's word, it's a demonstration you are not of God. So it's knowing Jesus. It's an intimate term in Scripture. To be in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. He in you and you in him spiritually. Jesus said that he was the vine and we are the branches. And every branch in me bears good fruit. And that fruit will remain. And he prunes those that are in him that they might bear more fruit. There's a result of being in Jesus Christ. It's union with him. Paul said in Galatians 2, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's not I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, this text of Scripture, this preaching this morning, it's not for the dead. It's for the living. Leota has gone on to be with the Lord. Her body is here and will be put into the ground in hopes of the great resurrection that is coming. Anticipation, confident hope in the resurrection. It's coming. This word is for you. This word is for me. This word is for those who are alive right now. Those who are alive and remain, who must hear the call of the gospel to repent and look unto Jesus. It's the only hope. It's the only way of escape. It's the only way of forgiveness. Jesus says, he who believes in me, and the word believe there, the Greek term pistou, means to have faith in. Your confidence, your hope is in him, is not under the condemnation. As Paul said, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Also, there is no separation for those who are in him. So he says, he who does not believe. This is addressing some of you here this morning. He that does not believe. He that does not have faith in Jesus. He who does not have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. He who does not believe the witness of Scripture. You are condemned already. We live in a country where the gospel has gone from the east to the west, north and the south. And it's been despised. It's been spurned by people right and left. It's been ridiculed. It's been mocked. But you still got to deal with Jesus. What are you going to do with Jesus? Those who do not believe, Jesus said, are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God gave his Son not as a household swear word. God gave his Son for those to believe and to look to him as the only means of redemption, forgiveness, salvation, reconciliation. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, be reconciled to God. We beg you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Many of you have heard the gospel already. You've heard the good news that Christ has redeemed sinners. That Christ is the one who provides the hope of salvation. And you've spurned it. You've turned your face on it. You've laughed at the only Savior, Jesus. Who, when he comes again, is not going to be your Savior. He's going to be your judge. Today is the day of salvation. It's today. It's not tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow. You know what you have? You have right now. In each right now. Because people are dying two every second in this world. And you've gotten right now. The condemnation, the wrath of perishing, is to be utterly destroyed. To perish is to drop down into hell and suffer the just judgment of God against your sin forever. Forever. You ever had a toothache? Probably every one of us in here has had a toothache. What would it be like if you had no hope of a dentist? Nothing to alleviate the pain that you're going through in your tooth. That's just a simple thing. It would drop you to your knees in a moment. Now you think about that. And each sin of ours deserves a hell all of its own. Of being dropped into the pit of hell and suffering the torment and the just judgment of God against our sin forever and ever and ever and ever. I mean, we can't even wrap our mind around that. The torment that is coming upon all those who do not take refuge in the only Savior, Jesus. The comfort of the believer this morning is that Christ has bore your punishment. Christ bore the punishment for Leota. Many conversations I've had with her, and her hope was Jesus. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. That was her hope. That's Ron's hope. Sophie. It's Adam. That's the family. They've heard the gospel call and they've responded because of the faith the Holy Spirit has worked in them. And that's the comfort of knowing that our burden has been borne by the Savior and I bear my sins no more. So I look forward to that day when I fly away. I look forward to that day where this body is put into the grave, the soul departs to be with Christ. I look forward to that day because knowing that all of my sins have been dealt with. But I beg you, you are in here this evening, this morning, have not come to Jesus Christ. You've only got one hope. And His name is Jesus, and God gave Him into this world to redeem sinners. Have you come to Jesus? He's the only hope. Amen. Let us pray.